Hare Krishna, welcome for the Bhagavad Gita class. We will first start with the prayers. So please chant with me. We'll chant together. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatya Desha Tarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jay Pataka Swamini So we are into chapter 3 and last time we finished the first portion of the chapter 3. I told you we divided into two sections. So today we are going to do the second section and the chapter is called Karma Yoga. It mostly talks about karma, a little of yoga. I mean, Krishna always talks about the problem and the solution. That's how Bhagavad Gita goes. Always you will see problems and solution. We'll define something and then he will give a little solution. He'll take the both the sides, you know. He'll always tell the good and the bad about everything. If you do, what happens? If you don't do, what happens? So we will take the second portion, and as is our practice, we will read together. We finished till 25, so today we will take 26 to 43. Yeah, this is what it is. Okay, let me bring you this. Okay. So this is from 26 onwards. So I request that all of you also read with me. Try to go as slow as possible. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification. Knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully, without envy, become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. But those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, that is lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, that is Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So that ends the translation to the third chapter. So we can see here how clearly Krishna is explaining things bit by bit, so that ultimately at the end of the 18th chapter, Arjuna completely surrenders. He surrenders in the 10th chapter itself, but still Krishna keeps on telling him the finer points after the 10th chapter. So in the 3rd chapter, as you see, he is talking about the activities now. What kind of activities we have to do, how we have to perform our duties, etc. So you will just go little back and see, you know, Krishna was talking about his own duties, if you remember, right? He says if he doesn't do it, then the whole world will be put to ruination. And then he talked about the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results. So everybody, ignorant in the sense, ignorant in the spiritual knowledge, not ignorant in material knowledge. Materially we are very, very strong. The world is progressing, you know, the science is progressing, everything is happening. But spiritually we are becoming weaker, you know. So he says the ignorant will keep on doing their thing, the wise people will keep on doing their things. And what is that? The wise, the learned and the wise, what will they do? They will work, but without attachment, so that they can set up an example for others also, and of course it benefits them. So then Krishna is giving an instruction now to all of us, especially those who are preaching this, who are talking to others about this. What he says, do not disrupt the minds of ignorant men. Those who are busy doing their material activities, do not describe them. Okay? You should not ask them to stop doing what they are doing. Instead, we should engage them in some devotional service, you know, like for example, we can invite them for some kirtan, bhajan, some katha, some prasadam, some dancing, some music, you know, all this slowly. Don't in the first time, you know, meet and say, hey, moment we learn a little about Bhagavad Gita, then you start chastising everybody. You're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to be engaged to your senses. That person is not going to like you. He is not going to accept you. Like, you know, all of us were also in that situation. But now we got some inquisitiveness. The first thing is to have the jigyasa. Atato brahma jigyasa. Till that time, people will not be interested, you know. So that's why we see that fewer and fewer people are interested. And many are interested, but they are so busy doing other things that they have no time, you know. I can see that happening with my classes all the time. So many register. They go in, you know, hundreds, and then when it comes to starting, then you get fewer. And then you go a little deep, you know, they start dropping out because they think, oh my God, this is too much. He's saying you should stop doing everything. Krishna is saying, so it's better not to get engaged in that, you know. So, because what happens? Everybody thinks that he's doing it himself. Like next shloka, Krishna says, he's doing it himself. People think like that. But actually we should know that everything is being carried out under the three modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. We all act in one of those or mixture of that. It's not that we are doing something, you know, that false ego. In the Sanskrit, the word is ahankara, you know, thinking that I am the doer. So, Krishna is cautioning, okay? And he says, one who knows, he will not engage in all these things. It doesn't mean we are not going to breathe, it doesn't mean we are not going to eat, it doesn't mean, you know, we are not going to do so many things that we do. But if we bring Krishna in the center, and then you work in devotion, you know. Like for instance, just I will give one or two examples. Like if I am hungry, my consciousness will tell me that if I am hungry, Krishna must be also hungry, although Krishna is never hungry, but still, I would rather think like that and make something for him, he takes it and then I eat, so my hunger is also satisfied. And then I also am not entangled, you know. I'm not entangled, I'm not bonded. So I have double benefit by taking prasadam. My hunger is satisfied and my devotional service is carried out. So, Krishna calls the people who are totally engaged in material activities as ignorant. Ignorant. Okay? And then, of course, he's saying that although they are doing something, we should not unsettle them. Because otherwise, you know, they will have full stop. They will say, okay, no more. But if they see the positive side of it, you know, like many people who come here for our programs, they come just to see what's going on. Some come to have, you know, they're a little pious, so they think that, okay, let me go have darshan. And then they sit down and then they hear some bhajans and kirtan, as I said, you know. Some of them like it, some of them don't like it. So those, in other words, the process is very slow. Okay? And Krishna is declaring here that this duty, so-called duties, you know, I have to take care of my family and this and that, is inferior. Inferior to the duty which is devotional service. It is our duty to uplift ourselves. It is our duty to progress in spiritual life. It is our duty to go back ultimately at the end of the life to get moksha or liberation or go back to Krishna, you know, that's the highest, of course. Okay? So, see, Krishna keeps on giving these small little things, doses once in a while. Now he is asking Arjuna in the very third chapter that therefore, he says, you should fight. How? By surrendering all your works unto me. He says, all this, after fight, what is going to happen? You surrender it to me. With full knowledge of me, don't think that you are going to get anything out of it. No claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy. See, people think that spiritual life means no work. Spiritual life means, you know, people at the retire. That's why they say we'll do it when we are retired. But Krishna is not recommending that. Krishna is saying free from lethargy. You can imagine those who are not even in Krishna consciousness, how lethargic they are, you know, how tough it is. Like I invite every week that Saturdays at least come here, local people here, you know, that please come join us for this Mangala Arati, you know, we postpone it by 1 hour so that it's convenient. 7 o'clock, hardly anybody can come, you know, Prabhuji, it's so difficult to get up in the morning, you know, Friday nights are late nights, you know, we see movies and we should do this and we do that and then. So what is this sign of? Nothing to do with real, because every day when your office is there at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, you have to drive for 1.5 hour, you do get up. Lethargy, spiritual lethargy. Of course, Krishna is telling him the same thing. He says, get up and fight. And then he's saying, those who execute their duties according to his orders and follow his teaching faithfully, they without envy, not thinking that, oh, why should I do it? Who is Krishna to tell me that? I am my own boss. I am the assistant general manager in a company or whatever, CEO of a company. Why I need Krishna? Then there is a problem. What is the problem? They are bereft of all spiritual knowledge. Befooled. Vimudha, Krishna says vimudha. And ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Everybody wants for perfection, right? We work for perfection, hopefully. We expect that everybody works for perfection. And then, now Krishna is telling, hey Arjuna, it's not that only the ignorant, even the people who have knowledge, who have the spiritual knowledge, they act according to your own nature. In other words, he's saying, people will act according to their own nature, so we should not be bewildered. We should not feel, why is not coming? Why people? People ask me all this, Prabhuji, you are doing this such a wonderful thing. Why people are not attending? So, this is the reason. Krishna himself is telling. Okay? They are following their nature. Artificially they cannot change. They may say, oh yes, 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 because sometimes we do it for some show off, you know, like we want to be known in the society as a good person, as a devoted person. Oh, he's such a good devotee. That's like a degree. Okay? But that cannot happen artificially. Everything is very, very natural. So he said, Krishna says, don't apply any repression. He says, what repression can accomplish? And then, of course, he keeps on taking, you know, he keeps on telling that this material attachment is a stumbling block on our progress. It's a stumbling block. We can lead our life still. And then this is, next shloka is very popular shloka. Srila Prabhupada many times mentioned it, and it tells perfectly. He says, far better to discharge one's prescribed duties. Even though there is a problem, you know, doesn't matter. You know, that when we are doing devotional service, for example, we can have problems. We can make mistakes, because human nature is to make mistake. But rather do your own duty rather than do somebody else's duty, he says. Because that will create problem. In real life also we see, suppose I want to do a barber's duty, you know, I don't know how to cut the hair, and he start doing it, what will happen? It's dangerous. In Hindi we say, you know, jako kaam tako saje. Let the, you know, whatever work is required done by somebody who's expert in that, let him do that. A pot maker can make pots. If he starts making cars and engines, there'll be problem. I mean, unless, of course, you can acquire knowledge and then do it. But generally speaking, okay. So this is very interesting, very important, and that's why people don't do things as we expect them to do. Now this is the important two or three shlokas, you know. Arjuna comes now into picture again, and Arjuna asks only one question. He says, "Oh Krishna, I do not want to commit any sinful acts. You know, I don't want to do that. But I do it. Everybody does it. We do it. Why? What is that making us do it?" And Krishna's answer is straight. It is lust only, Arjuna. Lust. Lust doesn't mean only sexual lust. You know, lust means strong desire. Ribol? Lust means strong desire to get something, to obtain something, to acquire something. Okay. So Krishna is saying, this people in the mode of passion, Rajoguna, this is the classic example of Rajoguna. Rajoguna, we want to acquire material possessions, you know. Big bungalow, big car, big wife, big everything, big bank balance. And then when we are not able to do that, then it becomes problematic. That we saw last second chapter also, how when it is not fulfilled, it becomes, you know, you get angry, then delusion, then loss of everything. The same thing he is saying, this is the biggest enemy, kama, lust. And then of course, he is giving some, you know, Krishna is expert in giving examples. As fire is covered by smoke, mirror is covered by dust, embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity, that is we, spirit souls, we are covered by lust. Different degrees. You know, like sometimes you take a, let's say take a mirror, you just take a cloth and, you know, you can just dust it and it will come out. Sometime by that it will not still come out because it is thick and it is sticky. So then you require some Windex or Glassex or, you know, some solution with a scrubber and so on. So same way, some lust is very deep rooted into us and some is just comes and goes. So as long as that is there, we will commit sinful acts. We will. What is sinful act? What is sin? Sin means working against the law of Krishna. Sin doesn't mean only killing animals, etc., etc. No. And Krishna says it burns like fire. Because you're never satisfied, you know. If you have decided that I want to have a 4-bedroom apartment or a mansion, till that time you get, you will be not satisfied. And the moment you get it, you are again not satisfied, because now you want something bigger. Because then you realize that, oh, this is just a stepping stone. Actually, I want to go for this, you know, like that. And where does this lust sit? In the senses, the mind and intelligence. Mana, buddhi and ahankara. These are the three places where the kama sits. So Krishna is suggesting in the very beginning, you know, we should have done this when we were children. We should have started regulating our senses, controlling our senses by practice, by knowledge, by teaching. But we never do that. We have no time at that time. Nobody has time for us. Parents have no time for the children to teach all this. They just think that, okay, sending them to some coaching classes, kung fu and karate and soccer and little music and little drama, that their life is successful. And then, of course, he's talking of the degrees, you know, like the working senses are superior to dull matter, which is higher than senses, intelligence higher than mind, and the highest is soul. That's the ultimate. Highest is the soul. So, what we have to do is, we have to become transcendental. We have not to be totally, you know, attached to. Slowly. Transcendental to senses, mind and intelligence. Mind you, mind is the biggest enemy. Intelligence is controlled by ahankara, false ego. Okay? So he says, one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. And that way only you can conquer lust. Okay? So if you remember, I was telling you the last shloka of every chapter is Krishna consciousness, is buddhi yoga, is bhakti yoga, is the instruction of Krishna. Always he finishes like this. One should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. Deliberate. By practice. Not that it will come. When time comes, it will come. No, time will never come. How can time come? If we are not ready, if we have no desire, then things cannot change. It will become worse. As we progress, it becomes worse, not better. Okay? So this way we come to the end of the third chapter. I try to cover each shloka slowly and a little bit by bit. As I said, we are not gone into depth. When we take up each shloka, then we will really go into the nitty gritty of each and every shloka, the purports, the different commentaries, etc. Okay. So thank you very much. I appreciate your patience. And if now anybody has any question, we can take that up. Thank you. Hare Krishna. You should also give your feedback as to, you know, how did you find it, because I can always change the pace and the content and everything.